I think the direction that the Postal Service is heading, and perhaps the Senate with them, is to for the Postal Service to take a close look at several thousand post offices across the country out of some 33,000, and to see if in some communities where, in some cases where the postmaster is being paid $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000, and the post office is only generating, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 worth of postal business, the Postal Service, I think, is interested in engaging a number of those communities in a conversation that doesn't say we're going to close your post office, but says we'd like to continue to provide the postal service in your community. But we'd like for you to consider some changes. One, they'd like to incentivize a number of postmasters to go ahead, who are eligible to retire, to go ahead and retire. And rather than paying a lot of money to a postmaster to run a post office that generates very little revenues, to offer service in that post office where maybe a retired postmaster could come in and work part-time. Maybe the community would like to have mail service at that post office in the morning, or in the middle of the day, or in the afternoon, or some combination thereof. Or maybe the community would say, you know, we really don't care about having the post office there open. We have a supermarket down the road, and we'd like to have our post office in the supermarket. Or you might have a situation where you have rural letter carriers that are delivering mail out in the community, out in the countryside. And the rural letter carrier will say, you know, I stop at this place for gas or to have my lunch every day, and I can just sell postage stamps and provide services right there 5 or 6 days a week. So the idea here is not for the Postal Service to mandate what they would do to try to rein in their costs but still provide postal service. But the idea would be to engage in a real conversation with the community, say, here's a 3 or 4 or 5 options, what works best for the community, have that conversation, and then make a decision accordingly.
One of the criticisms of that potential process is the fact that Congress would be so heavily involved in it. Is there a way to ensure that your colleagues would be able to step back and allow the Postal Service to have that conversation with the communities without feeling the need to step in?
Yeah, I don't know that the Congress needs to be intimately involved in that conversation. The idea is to make sure the Postal Service has a real conversation with the community. And the folks in that community say, well, given these 3 or 4 or 5 options, these are the 1 or 2 that work best for us. And at the end of the day, it's probably a role for the Postal Regulatory Commission to examine what's and end up being sort of agreed to, and to try to make sure that's a reasonable standard of service in that community. So I actually think this might work. We'll see. I think that might be the direction we're headed.
I was recently in your state and driving across Route 16 to get to the beach, and we drove through a little town called Ellendale, and there is a grocery store there. And as I drove through and saw the post office, and then we went like 3 minutes later, and I will, for the record, say I was driving the speed limit of 25 miles an hour through town, so I don't want the authorities in Ellendale to suspect that I was maybe one of the Marylanders trying to get away with something there. But as I noticed that juxtaposition of the post office and the grocery store that's right on the main street, it's maybe a difference of a couple hundred yards for someone to access that location. It sounds like that's what you're talking about as potential alternative locations in small towns where that might not sustain a full-blown post office anymore.
It's possible that a community that did have a grocery store or a supermarket or a pharmacy or a convenience store that's open maybe 7 days a week and maybe even 24 hours a day, for that community to say, you know, we'd be happy to have the post office in the supermarket. I one of the places several grocery stores that we use in northern Delaware has in the grocery store they have a bank, they've got a pharmacy, and the idea of having a post office there, that might work for a lot of people as well.
Now, you mentioned that you want to pay attention to where the Postal Service is headed and where the Senate may go also. I'm paraphrasing what you said earlier. But I wonder if that is the actual dynamic that you would like to see, is that Congress can go to the Postal Service and say, we are comfortable with your plan, we're confident that this plan is going to take you in the right direction, and so you go and get the results that you think are appropriate. Is that where you are right now with the Postal Service's plan?
Yeah, the Postal Service needs to be able to continue to provide reasonably good service, acceptable service, if you will, to communities across the country. And they need to be able to do it in a way that's more cost effective, and to not to save billions of dollars a year, but to save some real money. The Postal Service is They've just about used up their $15 billion line of credit with the federal government. They're on tab to run up another, gosh, probably another $10 billion or so this year. They just can't continue on that path. So we have to find ways for the Postal Service to save money. They have to find ways, and we have to find ways to grow revenues. So I think there's a way here to continue to provide service, good service in the communities, good in with respect to the way that that particular community would think is appropriate, and at the same time to do it in a way that's more cost effective for the Postal Service.
Now, some folks that have been on my show have said the Postal Service represents almost a canary in a coal mine kind of leading edge indicator of where the entire federal government might be headed, because obviously we all understand the debt and deficit situation that the full federal government is in. Do you think that's a fair comparison, and that folks that are trying to pay attention to what could potentially be happening at their agencies 2 and 3 and 5 and 10 years from now could be watching the Postal Service to see how they respond to this challenge?
No, actually, the real challenge of the problem that the Postal Service faces is that we have changed in this country of ours the way we communicate. My first year in the Senate was 2001. In 2001, for about every 15 letters we received one email. 11 years later, last year, 2011, for every letter we received roughly 15 emails. That's the way we communicate has changed. That affects dramatically the bottom line for the Postal Service, because people and businesses are using a lot less first-class mail, where the Postal Service makes its money. The federal government is looking to technology to help us provide better service for less money to customers, to taxpayers across the country. The Postal Service is in some ways the victim, because all those people who are sending emails to my Senate office and 99 other Senate offices aren't using the mail.
Mm-hmm.
They're using email.
Yeah.
And they're doing it because it's convenient and it's cheap. It's like free.
The final question I have for you, Senator, I appreciate your time this afternoon. As we look forward to what will happen timeline-wise in Congress when it pertains to this, to the Postal Service, where are we and where do you see things going for the Postal Service in Congress and in the Senate specifically?
My hope and expectation is that by the time we take the Easter recess in early April, we'll have had a chance to began to move a compromise bill in the Senate and through the Senate. One of the models that's out there, a kind of an unlikely model, but the one that I think is helpful, is the auto industry. The auto industry, you know, 3-4 years ago was going under. People saying, let it go, let them go into bankruptcy, and we'll let the free market work. What the auto industry did is they said, we've got to right-size our enterprise. They said, we actually have a few more employees than we need. We need to do something about that. And they didn't fire people, lay people off. They basically said, we'll incentivize people who are eligible to retire to go ahead and retire. They said, we got more auto plants, more parts plants and so forth than we need, and let's see if we can't reduce that. And we know painfully in Delaware how that works. We lost our GM plant, our Chrysler plant. Long story short, though, the UAW said, you know, we'll take over running the healthcare program, healthcare insurance for Chrysler, GM, and Ford employees. And I think therein lies part of what we need to do with the Postal Service, to right-size the enterprise for those employees who are at retirement age, ready, or eligible to retire, provide incentives for them to go ahead and retire, to reduce the headcount somewhat. Secondly, they have a few more post offices, maybe a few more mail processing centers that are needed, and try to figure out how they can, at least with post offices, provide decent, good mail service in communities across the country, but saving some money at the same time, and to close some mail processing centers, not 300 or 400 of them, but maybe to close another 100 or 150 without impairing service. And finally, I've urged the postal unions, the mail postal unions, there's four major ones, but I've urged them to look at what the UAW did in taking over the running of the healthcare programs for their members within the auto industry. And from what I can tell, it's worked out pretty well for the UAW and for their members and for Ford, Chrysler, GM. And as we look to try to provide better health care for less money, that might be an option that would help the Postal Service, too.
What kind of a reception did you get from the unions on that?
There's active negotiation going on between the unions and postal management. So there you go.